I'm going to preach a little bit today on the family. Turn over to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Everybody look across the aisle, somebody tell them you love them, would you? Brother Ike, that ain't across the aisle. There you go. Brother Rose needs you to tell him, brother. Amen. Amen. You should have done told her this morning. First thing. Amen. But I've been preaching on the danger of function apart from unction, going through the motions. And we looked at the danger concerning our faith of just going through the motions. We looked at the danger concerning our fellowship. And this morning, with the help of God, I want to look at the danger of function apart from unction concerning our families. How many of you all realize that the family is under attack today? I'm telling you, you say, preacher, I don't know why the big cities are having such problems. I'll tell you, if you go into those big cities and examine the family, they don't know many times. And I'm not saying that's not true here in the suburbs, so to speak. But many times, they're generation after generation that don't know what it is to have a dad and a mom. Sometimes aunts are raising them. Sometimes grandparents are raising them. And sometimes doing the best they can. But it's a very, very, very difficult situation. Many times the young people join the gangs because they feel a sense of family, a sense of protection, a sense of belonging. And God wanted us to have those senses, but He wanted us to have it inside the family. A man and a woman, children. I was reading some things this morning. I ran across this. Who can ever forget Winston Churchill's immortal words? We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and streets. And we shall fight in the hills. Robert Orban said, it sounds like our family vacation. There's a whole lot of families in turmoil these days. And I want to say this morning. If you have love in your heart for your wife, wife, if you have love in your heart for your husband, and moms and dads, if you have love in your heart for your children, and children, if you have love in your heart for your mom and dad, if there's peace in your family, you ought to shout the praises of God. Because the forces of hell, Brother Wayne, are trying to rip our families apart. Not only our family in the home, but the family of God in the church. The forces of evil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Beloved, we don't need to forget that Satan is the prince and the power of the air. For now, it ain't going to be long, and his day's going to be over, and ours will just begin. Amen. Let's read the Word of God together. Little children, verse 18, 1 John 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But here's our text. Here's where God spoke to my heart. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I want to ask you something concerning your family. Do you have an unction from the Holy One? Is there something that draws you to the Word of God? Is there something that... Y'all might think I'm crazy, but In January 2017, our home was broke into and we were robbed. Charity and Bob were living there at the same time. They had just got back from Chattanooga and they were robbed as well. And not long after that, I had a company to install an alarm system. Y'all might think I'm nuts. But Brother Grizzle, I think I'm going to put me up a little sign over the alarm system. Every morning when I get up, the first thing I do is turn it off. You have to enter a code. You got a stay-at-home code that lets you know if somebody comes in on you, yet you're still free to move through the house. The motion detectors don't go off. And the verse I think I'm going to put on it is, so teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Brother Steve, every time I punch that code in, I'm a day closer to Jesus. I'm a day closer to heaven. There's a day behind me. Every time I punch it in, I think it'd be good to be reminded, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The Word of God said here, and I'm going to pray in a moment, but I want to read the verses that I think are concerning the message today, where the Lord spoke to my heart about our family. The Bible said, I write unto you in verse number 12, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. How many here today can say, preacher, there's one thing I know. My sins are forgiven. How many can say that this morning? You're a blessed people. He said here, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. Does anybody know Him? I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I circled that in my Bible when I read it this morning, and the thought went through my mind, either you'll overcome the wicked one, or He'll overcome you. There's not going to be a stalemate. Amen. The Word of God said, I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. John seems to reiterate some things in these verses of Scripture, to repeat them. And I believe they're very, very important and worthy of our examination. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for the Word of God. Thank You for Your people that have gathered here today. And Lord, we know the home is under attack, not just in America, but around the world. God, I pray today, Lord, that You'd help us with some truth that would just be a blessing to our people. God, that You would, Lord, help our homes not just to function, not just to go through the motions, but rather, Lord, to have the unction of the Holy Spirit upon us as fathers, mothers, brothers and sisters, children. And I pray, Lord, the same would ring true for those, Lord, that gather in the house of God. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. I read where the man that finds himself in hot water, he's the one with a wife and several girls, in only one bathroom. That struck home with me this morning. Sometimes even a 55-gallon water heater runs out before the husband can get there. Amen. I praise the Lord this morning that God, in His mercy, has given us some instruction in the Word of God concerning the home. One man said he did an exhaustive study. And he said he's never found where a woman has taken her husband's life while he was washing the dishes. Ain't that good? Amen. It almost, Brother Rose, made me want to wash the dishes. I said, nah. Amen. Amen. Miss Eve just has to take me out. The home, God's people, God's fathers, God's sons, God's children. I wonder about something this morning, and I'll get into the message, but I want you to think about this. when he said, I write unto you, little children, your sins are forgiven. I write unto you, fathers. I write unto you, young men. I don't believe that John was a chauvinist and that he's leaving out mothers and leaving out daughters and or something like that. But here's what I do believe is being portrayed in the Word of God. The men are going to stand before God and give an account for their home. The men are supposed to be the spiritual leader in their home. And I believe, listen, that many homes would have disintegrated a long time ago if it wasn't for a godly mother. Many churches would have been in trouble if it wasn't for some godly ladies that held things together for a while. But I believe God's ideal and God's plan. You remember, listen, Eve was deceived in the transgression, but Adam was held accountable for what happened in the garden. And I believe when you're talking about the home, Christ, the head of the man, the head of the home, you'd be surprised. I don't know where I was at. Miss Eve told me somewhere a little while back. No, it was Brother Jim that told me. Said, that didn't look like that was received too well when I was given that truth at the dinner table. Amen? Well, let me tell you something. Whether the truth is received or not doesn't change the truth. The truth is still the truth. In the home, God requires that the man take spiritual responsibility and spiritual leadership in his home. And if we don't do that, then we will give an account to God for that one day after a while. I just thank God this morning that John is giving us this word. I want to give you some things this morning as we talk about the home. Just two things that I believe would help us to have that unction in the home and not just be going through the motions, but to have the unction of the Holy Spirit upon the father, upon the wife, upon the children. Two things. The first thing is God's Word. I want you to look here with me in your Bible, please, in verse number 3, and let's read for a little bit. We're talking about the unction of God on our family. The Word of God said, He that saith, well, let me read verse 3. Hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. You understand the little phrase, he that saith? There's a lot of people in the world. Let me just say it like this. There's a lot of people in the church world. They've got something in their mouth that they don't have in their heart. He that saith, if you say you love him and you don't keep his commandments, that just means you've got words in your mouth, but you don't have the love of God in your heart. Because God's love will cause you to want to be obedient to him. And by the way, when you love him, it'll break your heart when you are disobedient unto him. Watch this now. We see this here. The Word of God said, he that saith he's in the light and hateth his brothers in darkness even till now. So there's people that say they love God. There's people that say they're in the light. But God said, listen, if you're saying one thing and living another thing, beloved, listen, you're lying to yourself, you're deceiving yourself, and you're deceiving everybody else around you. Amen. I believe, listen, that God's love is the same at the house of God, the church, amen, at the job, at the gas station. It's the same everywhere you go. If you have it, you have it. And if you don't, you don't. The Word of God said here, he that saith he's in the light and hateth his brothers in darkness even till now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brothers in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. What a pitiful way to live your life. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart there's something going on here in this text, and it is the Word of God. Listen, we need to understand our relationship to our Bible, our relationship to our bridegroom, our relationship to our brother is all founded upon the principles of the Word of God. The Word of God said right here, I want you to see it with me. The Bible said over here, His commandments in verse number 3, His commandments in verse number 4, keepeth His Word in verse number 5, abideth in Him in verse number 6, in verse number 7. I want you to notice this. Brethren, I write. Look in verse number 8. He said, again, a new commandment, I write. The Bible said over here in verse number 12, I write unto you, little children. In verse number 13, I write. In verse number 13 again, I write unto you. In verse number 13 again, I write unto you. In verse number 14, I have written. And again in verse number 14, I have written. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. One of the reasons the unction is lacking in the family is because the Word of God is lacking in the family. God is saying, I write, I write, I write. You know what this is? This is a love letter from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wants you to have a good family, a successful family for the glory of God. But we can't do it apart from the Word of God. We need the Word of God if we're going to have the touch of God on our family. I believe there's two things that goes on that's really hindering the family today. Watch this. Number one, a misplaced loyalty. We ought to be loyal. Amen. Faithful to our spouse. But we ought to be loyal and faithful to our Lord. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe, listen, we ought to thank God for our food. I think we ought to thank God for our spiritual food, the Bible, the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And so there's a misplaced loyalty that's really hindering the unction in the family. But let me give you this. When the loyalty gets misplaced, the next thing that'll be misplaced is the love. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Beloved, when we lay our Bible to the side, I promise you, something's going to take its place. You say, preacher, we're not living in a land of idolatry. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I saw people with weed eaters. I saw people rubbing on the wax. You can see people doing everything on Sunday under the sun. You can see them out taking a joyride with the top down on their car, and they're not headed to the house of God. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because 15 mile an hour for 15 miles ain't going to get you nowhere. Amen. I'm telling you, they're just out just looking at the scenery and the creation. And listen, I believe with all of my heart that God is warning us, don't let your loyalty get misplaced, and don't let your love get misplaced. Don't fall in love with this world. You say, preacher, is there anything wrong with having nice things? Oh, listen, if we've got a roof over our head, that's more than we deserve. I'm telling you, if we lived in a shack and it wasn't dripping down in our bed when it rains, that's more than we deserve. There's nothing wrong with having things, but when things begin to have you, that's when something's wrong. Amen. It gets between you and God. Oh, beloved friend, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, watch this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. The Word of God said, in the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's two things that will bring about an unction on a family. The first one is the Word of God. The second one is the will of God. Beloved, let me ask you this. Listen, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. When it's time, maybe even in the job market, I'm not against people moving up, so to speak. And I believe that if we can improve upon our situation, that we ought to. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We better not leave God out of that. I'm just going to tell you, beloved, listen, there's things that going on that's destroying the home. Young people are putting on a credit card what mom and dad has worked 40 years to get. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, they want it, and part of it is the pride of life. I'm not going to buy a used dishwasher. Honey, mom and dad didn't even have a dishwasher. I'm not going to have a used washing machine or a used dryer. Some of our mothers and dads and mamas and papas didn't even have a washer and a dryer. There's still, beloved, listen, trees that you can string a string between two of and hang them up, and they'll smell better than they did when they come out of the dryer. You say, why? Because it's the breath of God that's drying them. It's the breeze. Amen. How many knows the difference? Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, we can get ourselves in trouble. I want it, I'm going to have it, and I want it now. That's the attitude of the average family, and it'll destroy the family. Listen, first thing you know, there'll be financial pressure. And then the next thing you know, there'll be spiritual pressure. You'll find yourself, listen, where it's a lot easier to work on Sunday. A lot easier because you got to have a little extra money. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the devil is slick. He knows how to get to the family. And we need a husband that will ward him off and make sure at the door that he keeps him out. Amen. Thank God for the mothers in the absence of that husband that have tried to do the same thing. Beloved, listen, the Word of God said here in verse 17, the world passeth away. How many believes that? And the lust thereof, how many believes that? Let me tell you something. Where you're headed. You say, preacher, you don't know where I'm headed. Don't matter, one way or the other. We're all headed one of two places. We're all headed to either heaven or hell when we leave this world. And where you're headed, beloved, listen to me. It ain't going to matter what you drove. It ain't going to matter where you lived. It ain't going to matter how many people in Kingsport knew your name. I'm going to tell you what's going to matter. What you did with Jesus, number one, and what you did for Jesus, number two. That's what's going to matter in the end, the will of God. But so many people, they will make a career change and never consider the will of God. I like what one preacher said. He said, yes, many times the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Y'all have heard that, right? Can I tell you another place that's greener? Over the septic tank. I mean, that thing may look good on top, but down under it is something trying to destroy your relationship with God, trying to destroy your relationship with your children, trying to destroy your relationship with your spouse. That's the enemy. He hates us. He hates God's plan. Amen. Beloved, I'm going to say this. For years, the government's been doing this. Shame on a government that will reward unrighteousness. Shame on a government. I'm talking about seniors now. That would make it more beneficial for seniors to shack up than to get married and live in accordance with the will of God. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. No, I found it. It's right there in the Word of God. Amen. You say, preacher, why would they do that? I'll tell you why. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Nobody knows who they are. But there was a time when there was a couple, they were not married, and they sat right in our midst. They loved the preaching. They loved the singing. They loved the church. But when the rubber met the road, I told that man, you need to get married if you're going to live with that woman. You say, preacher, what happened? They're gone. You say, preacher, you glad they're gone? No, I would to God they had just got right. Done it the right way. Amen. You say, Pastor, you believe that it's right to get married? You're going to be together? That's the only way that's right. Amen. The Bible speaks of fornication. This Bible speaks of adultery. It's going on everywhere. There's not many men of God, Brother Sam, that'll say a word about it. But it's going on everywhere. Going on everywhere. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I just about guarantee you about everybody in this building, somewhere or another, has seen it or been associated around it and knows somebody that don't think there's a thing wrong with it. And I'm going to tell you, listen, your pastor's not the authority. This book. You know what the Word of God said? Marriage is honorable and all. And the bed undefiled. The Word of God said, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You say, Pastor, you preach that? Yes, because I don't want people living under the judgment of God. I want them to do the will of God. If they'll do the will of God, God will bless them. God will help them. And God will bless their family. You know, many times, listen to me carefully. You may be guilty of this. I don't know of anybody, thinking of anybody. But many times, people take a stand against shacking up until it happens in their family. Help me! Many times, people take a stand against sodomy until it happens in their family. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, God didn't change His mind just because it happened in your family or my family. And if God lets this mess that we're living in called the world go on much further, it'll touch about every family before it's over with. But right's still right, and wrong is still wrong. The family is under attack. Misplaced loyalty, misplaced love. The Word of God is what it takes to have unction in the home. The will of God is what it takes to have unction in the home. Many times, choices are made in localities, careers. Never once consider the will of God. I love this church. Y'all have been good to me and my family. But I can always go back to a Tuesday night, about 5 minutes till midnight, sitting right out there in that old Crown Victoria. I believe at the time, Brother Ralph, it had 257,000 miles on it. He said, Preacher, what's the matter with you? Oh, it ain't nothing. My truck just turned over 317. Glory to God, I talked to a mechanic a while back. I said, you reckon between me and you and Jesus, we can get a 500,000 miles on this thing? He said, I believe we can. Amen. Sitting right out there, I remember saying, oh God, Brother Grizzly, this is how I prayed, oh God, I'd read through the Bible, started in Hebrews, they need an answer. Oh God, I need an answer. God, I don't want to miss your will. But I'm going to tell you something right now, Brother Gary, there are men, that's the last thing they consider. I told the men on the pulpit committee, there are many men that would walk into this facility and be infatuated by the facility. It's not the facility. It's the will of God. So many families will just do this and do that and not pray about it and not seek the will of God. I'll tell you something about the will of God. When you're in it, you'll know it. Can I tell you something else about it? When you're out of it, you'll know it too. You know what happens when we get out of the will of God? We lose our joy. We just go through the motions, Brother Steve. Just going through the motions. We know how to function, but we have no unction in the home. God wants our home to be a happy home, a spirit-filled home. God wants to bless our home. I read this. I thought it was interesting. It started with Rent-A-Wife, a small Petaluma, California company created by Karen Donovan to help clients decorate their homes, balance checkbooks, run errands, etc. Donovan, who launched her business through a small ad in a local newspaper, is already thinking big after 4 months of operation. This is rent a wife now. She wants to hire her father to initiate rent a husband and her two teens to start rent a family. We can do what any family does, the newfangled entrepreneur joked. We can come over and eat all the food, turn on all the lights, put handprints on all the walls, take showers and leave the towels on the floor, and when the clients are finished with rent a family, they'll have to call rent a wife. Your wife ought to be more to you than something for rent. The Word of God said, we're to love our wife as Christ loved the church. I might think about renting a wife, but there ain't no way. Nobody could cook like Miss Eve. Nobody could put up with me like Miss Eve and love me like Miss Eve. I read where the most successful people in the world, listen, you know where you'll find them? Married one time with their high school or their college sweetheart. That's where you'll find them. I told somebody the other day I thought I would never get out of high school. Daddy kept saying to me, son, time flies. The older you get, the faster it goes. And I thought, you are a nut, Daddy. These 4 years are going to be the death of me in high school. You know what happened? I made it to the 12th grade. All I needed was English to graduate. But they had it set up to where you couldn't take just one course. So I took English and metal shop. And as long as I kept all the teachers in the school, their welding projects done, they let me be free during the metal shop hour. And you say, preacher, what did you do during that hour? Time sped up a little bit. I courted Miss Eve. Yeah, it wasn't long I was graduating. Moving down to Virginia, God's country, from Baltimore. The next thing you know, we were married before we moved down. The next thing you know, our first baby was on the way. And the next thing you know, the second baby was on the way. The next thing you know, the third and the fourth baby were on the way. And the next thing you know, Pastor's got 11 grandchildren. And my oldest grandchild, Aubrey, is going to be 20 years old in February. So it may not be too awful long till I'm a great papa. Say amen. Can I look up at heaven and say, Dad, you were right? Beloved, the time is swiftly slipping by. And in our families, we need to make the days count for the glory of God. We need to make sure that it's centered around the Word of God and that it's centered around the will of God. If you notice here, John said, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you. I write unto you fathers because you have known Him. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I want to ask a question in closing this morning. I want to ask this question. Does anybody know how Jesus overcame the wicked one? Anybody remember what He said three times? Anybody remember? Here's what He said. It is written. It is written. It is written. Turn over to the book of John with me. I believe it's John. I hope I can find it here in just a moment. Jesus was faced. No, it's not John. Jesus was faced with the same enemy that you and I were faced with. Look in Matthew chapter 4. John chapter 4, it's the Samaritan woman. Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse 1. How was Jesus being led? Somebody answer me, please. What? What's that mean, Brother Gary? That means he had unction, didn't he? He wasn't just functioning that day. Jesus never just functioned. I mean, he had unction from the cradle to the tomb. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, how many knows he's coming to your house? He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, what are the words? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh them up to a holy city and setteth them on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, what are the three words? It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. What are the three words? For it is written. That's four, but I'm concentrating on it is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and were ministered unto him. I want to say this. I believe the Father in heaven was very proud of his Son that day. He didn't give in. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. In these three temptations, you have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And in all three temptations, the response was the same. It is written. A family that will function apart from the Word of God will never know the unction of the Holy Spirit in that family. A family that will function apart from the will of God will never know the unction of the Holy Spirit in that family. I believe with all of my heart, God doesn't want our families just going through the motion. He wants us to have the touch of God on our families. From the mom and dad to the children. You think the children aren't listening? I told you this Wednesday night, some of you after church, last Sunday morning, I talked about how it pleases the Father when he looks down and sees his children fellowshipping. I made this statement. I said, every once in a while, Sawyer and Olivia forget that they're brothers and sisters. And you just see them hugging one another and getting along real good and loving on one another. Now, I want to say this. That is not most of the time. That is the exception to the rule. That's why I said they had to forget they were brothers and sisters. You think the children aren't listening? Brother Brian told me something years ago that Brother Jack said, I can't remember it verbatim, but it was the fact that the children are picking up on more than what you think they're picking up on. Olivia got in the car after church, and she said, Papa, I said, what, baby? She said, that part about me and Sawyer, forgetting that we're brothers and sisters. She said, did you just make that up, or was it in the script? That's what she said. She was listening. I said, Mama took up for Papa. She said, honey, Papa don't preach from the script. Livy said, well, he uses the Bible, don't he? Can I say this? Right here's the answer. The Word of God. Husbands, just remember, we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account. May God help us to lead our families in a way that's pleasing unto Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.